Jesus died, Paul wrote to the Roman church, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus was baptized into his death?" Romans 6:3. I've had people say to me in situations where I almost get killed in a car accident, "Weren't you afraid?" No, I've already died. I died with Christ 17 years ago. The worst that anything in this world can do is take my flesh. And that's okay, because I have another body waiting for me. You have to take that personally. Your faith, your religion, your spirituality. If you're not taking it personally, it's sitting on the cuff of your sleeve. It can be brushed off. You have to take it personally. That's what Easter's about. Take it personally. And Paul said, because Jesus resurrected from the grave, he told the Romans, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." That means your resurrection positionally has already been approved. You're there. If you're joined to Christ in his death, you're joined to Christ in his crucifixion, and you're joined to Christ in his resurrection, then just as sure as that sun came up this morning, every single saint will be resurrected from the dead. And let me make this clear, because there are a lot of people who think, "Well, when I die, I'm going to lay in the ground for zillions of years until God decides to come, and then he'll wake me up." And there's no soul sleep in the Bible. The very moment you lose consciousness in this world, in a nanosecond, that consciousness is restored in the spiritual realm, and you're there. You're there. And there are a lot of people that say, "Well, they have a show coming out now or a movie about a little boy who died and saw heaven and then came back." That's wrong. You can't die and come back unless you're Jesus Christ. He's the only one that could die and come back. If you're dead, you're dead. It's simple. You don't come back. You move on. And I tell you, if you know Christ and you've taken him seriously and personally in your life, then, beloved, you will be resurrected. Your tomb, your spiritual tomb, will not contain death, but life, eternal life in Christ Jesus. You see the difference between God's people and worldlings. And I want to explain that word: unbelievers, worldlings, people who live in the world. The difference between the two is that believers take God's word personally. You take it to yourself. That's what it means. That is, we not only understand the Bible, this is what it means to take it personally. We not only understand the Bible, we also claim it as our own. And then once we claim it, we apply its principles to our life, Do you do that? Is that how you live your life in Scripture? Do you apply God's word to your life, the principles? That's what it means to take things spiritual personally. You need to take it and apply it to your life. I told the doctrines class this morning, you won't need the Bible in heaven. And the reason is because you'll be standing next to the living word. You won't have any hope in heaven because you'll be living in heaven. There'll be no need for protection in heaven because there is no sin. This book is made for today, in your life today. And you need to take it personally if you want to get the most out of it. That's what Paul did. And that's what he tells us to do as well. And the way you do that is you claim it as your own. You read those scriptures. Put your name in there. It belongs to you. Somebody died to give you that book. Use it. And I dare say there's nothing in Scripture that we should take more personally than the empty cross and the empty tomb. Because upon the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, upon those two events hangs all of the doctrines of Christ, the doctrines of salvation, all the doctrines of the New Testament, all the prophecies of the Old Testament that were all Christocentric, going from Genesis 3:15 all the way through to Revelation. We see Christ everywhere in the Bible. So it's important that we understand that that empty tomb and that crucifixion, it's important that we understand that we take that personally. We take that to ourselves. Paul gives us a proof verse for that. In 1 Corinthians 15:14-17, he says, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Perhaps that's why the Lord gives us, in Scripture, he gives us hundreds of witnesses who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first testimony of Christ's resurrection came from the two angels at the tomb. In Luke 24:4-6, we read, "Two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.'" It's interesting to note that the first message to man about the coming Christ being born in Bethlehem came by angels. And also, the first message of Christ's resurrection and the first testimony that he had resurrected came by angels. And our brother Paul, the apostle, testifies in 1 Corinthians 15:4-8, that over 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. He writes that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Caiaphas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then he appeared to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, Paul says, he also appeared to me. Now, there are many people who have tried to disprove that Christ resurrected. And some of them have actually been saved by looking into the resurrection and the testimonies. And I dare tell you right now that there's nobody in this room, nobody, who was at the Battle of Gettysburg. We have documents to show that. We have witnesses of it. But you weren't there. You either believe it or you don't. And the same applies to the witnesses in Scripture. It'd be very hard, it'd be impossible, if you were to take the most intelligent men and women that ever lived, if you took 500 million billion of them and you put all their minds together in one mind, they could not write the Bible. They could not write the Bible. They couldn't make it up. Because if they did, you would see their fingerprints in certain areas. The Bible is seamless. 66 books are joined together seamlessly. And so what that means is this: he resurrected. And there's enough proof, there's enough testimonies to prove that. In addition to these witnesses in Scripture, I want to stand here this morning and tell you that every born-again Christian is also a credible witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every saint here or every saint listening is a credible witness. Let me ask you a question. Which one of you listening has not felt the presence of your resurrected Savior in your life? Who here hasn't felt Jesus Christ in their life if you've claimed him as your Savior? Who here claims a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Who has not seen his nail-pierced hands moving in their life? How many people here have felt that hand, that blessed pierced hand. Comfort them. Strengthen them. Guide them. Protect them. And carry them through those dark, stormy nights of life. How many of you here who have claimed Christ have not seen that hand in your life? Or his providence? So I tell you that although you may not have physically seen the holes in his limbs or the gash in his side, I tell you every child of God has felt the power of those wounds in their life. Beloved of God, take Easter personally, because the crucifixion and the resurrection are events that affect our lives every single day. Every blessing we receive from God comes to us only because the angel says he has risen. Proof verse, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. When I first got saved and I came to that passage, I almost couldn't get over it. I don't know how many nights I laid awake and thought about every spiritual blessing in Christ. And perhaps it was the faith I was given, or perhaps it was that I dared to believe. But those spiritual blessings have been opening in my life like a monsoon. And they're there for each and every one of you. And they come from that empty tomb. They come from that empty cross. He's risen. And every blessings we have, every spiritual blessing are ours through Christ Jesus. And if he was in that tomb, if he had not risen, Paul said, you'd be dead in your sins. You'd have no blessings. The prayers you make, they'd go to devils and demons. Children of light, those of you here who claim Christ, one of your titles is children of light. Take those three precious words, he is risen. Personally, because they are the peace treaty between you and God Almighty. Paul gives us a proof verse in Romans 4:24 and 25. It'll be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That empty tomb means that you have been justified with God, that the Son's blood was shed on that cross. His body was put in the tomb, and he resurrected, and he went to heaven, and he applied his blood to the mercy seat, so that now all who call upon Christ, that shed blood justifies them before God the Father. That's why this morning we could plug ourselves in. We're plugged into the throne room of God because that tomb was empty and that blood justified us with God. The war is over. It's all done. For those of us who believe that that tomb is empty. And I also would tell you that empty tomb is an eternal monument to God's plan of salvation. Everyone who looks at the cross has to see the tomb as well, because there men die every day. But to die and to be buried and to be resurrected forever means that you're God. He was who he claimed to be. And that empty tomb is a monument to our salvation. You who are the elect of God, take the resurrection personally, because he is risen is the basis of our regeneration. We're new creatures in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Where's your hope? It's in Christ. If it's not in Christ, what's it in? The world? Luck, chance, coincidence, chaos? What's it in? We all have to have hope. And if your hope is in that empty tomb and your justification, or you're made justified by that blood, then you have all the hope in the world. You have everything. There's nothing that you're wanting for. And there are those who are called vessels of mercy. They take the words of love, and they are words of love. He has risen personally, because when he emerged from the tomb, he brought life and immortality with him. Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. Boy. Sons and daughters of God, take Easter personally, because it is the proof that death and the grave have no hold upon us. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And lastly, dear saints, we should take the crucifixion and resurrection personally, because it's part of our eternal destiny. Are you getting this? You understand? You got to take the resurrection, the cross, and your faith. You have to take your spirituality personally. Otherwise, you have to ask yourself what you have. In Jesus' great priestly prayer of John 17:24, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am. That was another passage I had difficulty getting over, because I didn't believe that God would want to be anywhere near me, but he wants me there with him. And beloved, that's only going to happen. That could only happen because God's angels announced on resurrection morning, he is risen. And I dare say that the silver thread of resurrection runs through every single one of God's blessings to us. From our justification to our eternal glory, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what binds all those blessings together. And the empty tomb, it's a symbol of God's eternal love for his people. That being said, it's imperative that we take this Easter personally. And for that matter, let me ask you, shouldn't we take all of God's word personally? Shouldn't there be not one jot or tittle that we just read? Should we not take all of it personally? Shouldn't we understand more of the Bible and claim it as our own and apply it to our lives? Shouldn't we do that? This is Easter, the day that we traditionally celebrate the resurrection. Perhaps it's a good idea for the saints to resurrect their faith. Perhaps it's time for the saints to step up and to take their faith more personally. That's one of the problems in the evangelical Christian church today. That's why it's lukewarm. People don't take their faith personally. They take it as a religiosity, a dull religiosity at that. Speaking to my brothers and sisters, I tell you to take those joyous three words, he has risen. Let them be your daily anthem every day of your life. Wake up. He has risen. That means I'm risen. And I tell you, you do that long enough, your joy will be so great that you'll break out into prayer, not even knowing you're doing it. Your spirit inside of you will. We need to do that. We need to be reminded that he is risen. Because we walk in a dark world. And every saint has a target on their back because they're different than everybody else. For those of you listening who have not seen the empty tomb, you must first go to Calvary and you must see the empty cross. Look on the ground and you'll see the blood of a Savior that was shed that you wouldn't have to die. A Savior who said, "Come to me, all who are heavy or who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Christ. Submit yourself to him. Confess him and him alone as your Savior. Then run to the tomb where the stone is rolled away, and behold the empty tomb and the angels declaring, 'He is risen.' Only then, dear friend, will you be able to take Easter personally. If you feel God stirring your heart, then call me or see me after the service, and I'll show you in his word how Christ is risen, and he's risen so that you might have eternal life." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you might help us to take your word personally, Lord. Help us, Father, to not just read it and study it and memorize it. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our life, because that's really what it's for. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, I pray, Lord, that you might walk their heart to that empty tomb or to Calvary and use that in this message, Lord, to draw them to yourself. We thank you, Father, for giving us a Savior, allowing him to die for us, and then resurrecting him, Lord, that we might be resurrected with him. Thank you for all your grace and your goodness that comes from the angelic cry of "He is risen." We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.